Chapter 5, Romania. When I had first talked to Robert about coming to see him, I saw a photo on his blog of an old brown radio with Russian text on it. That photo had stuck in my mind and somehow defined how I expected Romania to be. My expectations were fulfilled as we drove through town to the apartment. The city was dark and falling apart. Big, gray concrete buildings towered around the wide, empty boulevards, electric wires hanging everywhere in what seemed to be an impossible knot to solve. A few black silhouettes were walking on the sidewalk, wearing long coats, big furry hats, and shoulders hunched up to their ears. The dim streetlights lit up the heavy snowflakes that fell from the sky. The whole city was covered in snow and seemed depressing in a very authentic Soviet kind of way. A distinct smell of urine was in the air as we entered the door to the staircase of the apartment. An old dog was keeping watch, growling at me as I walked by. Robert told me not to worry. It was only pretending to be dangerous, he said. The apartment was old. The patterns on the wall and the big wooden cupboards reminded me of my grandmother's house when I was a kid. Every piece of furniture was in the ultra-heavyweight division. Robert and Amanda were both Americans and a few years older than me. They had met as Peace Corps volunteers in Moldova, working with health education in small villages. When their programs ended, they decided to stay in the area. Not being able to get a permission to live in Moldova, they started teaching English in Romania instead. The language there was the same as in Moldova, and they both spoke it fluently. I had just arrived, but we decided to go to the gym anyway. The ticket office for the bus had closed at 8 in the evening, which basically meant it was free to ride the bus after that hour. As we walked the last bit from the bus stop to the gym, I noticed a big hole in the sidewalk. It was deep, and if I hadn't seen it in time, I could have gotten seriously injured by falling into it. Apparently, people steal the covers for the manhole covers and sell them as scrap metal, Robert explained to me as I jumped over the hole, cheating death once again. The silhouette of an enormous unfinished building was hidden behind a long concrete wall. Pillars that must have been 30 meters tall covered the facade. It looked like some ruin out of a World War II computer game. It was supposed to have been an opera house, one of the many ambitious building projects started by the former dictator Ceausescu to show off his power. After he died, nobody wanted to finish them, so the half-built structures all over the city have been standing there since. It looked a bit like time had stopped. The gym was located in a military-based wrestling room. It was huge. About 30 kids were on the mats at what seemed to be a pretty unstructured wrestling class. Across the room, a bunch of old throwing mats were stacked. They had a faded camouflage print on them, worn out by the many years of use. In one corner was the weight area, rusty barbells, some old kettlebells, and a tire lay scattered around the floor. The concrete floor was cold as ice. My ultra-thin travel gi wouldn't keep me warm that night, and I hurried onto the mat to stretch and warm my feet a bit. It was 9:30 in the evening, but the room was full of people. I hadn't been sitting 20 seconds on the mat before the first guy came to shake my hand and started to ask me technical questions about jiu-jitsu. He was very eager to hear my advice on his strategy for an upcoming tournament the next weekend. Many guys came to welcome me. Everyone seemed very friendly and curious. It was different than in France, where I felt it took a little while before people started to open up. Here, they were instantly joking, laughing, and asking questions about my trip. People asked me to show a few techniques, and everyone wanted to roll with me after class. It was getting late and had been a very long day of traveling, so I was really tired. I agreed to go a few rounds anyway, but called in an early night. The floor was still cold as we changed our clothes. Robert told me that one of the guys from the gym would also be sleeping in the apartment that night. It was one of the kids he had worked with in the village in Moldova. He was 20 years old now and enrolled in the military in Bucharest. He was supposed to be sleeping at the military base that night, but had slipped off to jiu-jitsu and a warm couch instead. The next day, he had the weekend off and would come with us to the village to visit his family. Unlike the Romanians from the big city of Bucharest, the boy from the village had never learned to speak English. I was wondering how it would be to travel so far together with someone I couldn't communicate with. His name was Sandu, short for Alexandru. I was doing a seminar in the gym the next afternoon. The place looked different in daylight, less scary. I put my bag on a bench in the big training hall and walked around the mat for a minute while waiting for people to show up. Big windows, which must have been 5 or 6 meters tall, were covering the wall by the mat. Outside, the snow was falling gently in the little yard between the military buildings. It seemed like a very quiet and peaceful place. I'm sure the young recruits staying there might have had a different experience than I. Sparring with everyone was interesting. I lacked a bit of confidence in my game in terms of rolling with strangers who were eager to try and beat me. Back home, I was training with my own little team of guys only and was rarely, if ever, exposed to any techniques that I hadn't been teaching myself. Just by rolling with the bluebells that day, it was clear to me that there was still a lot of stuff I needed to learn. We got a ride back to the apartment after training. The stark smell of urine in the staircase hadn't gone anywhere. Robert had cooked up some local soup for us, and Sander was on the computer again, looking at what seemed like a Russian version of Facebook. He was laughing at some short video clip, eagerly showing it to Robert and saying something in Romanian. I was packing my bag for the bus ride that same evening. Already, I had accumulated more stuff than I needed. A few cool t-shirts that I'd picked up from gyms along the way, but still traveling with my big winter jacket, shoes, and sweatshirt, I didn't need that extra weight to carry around the world. "For you," I said clearly, even though I didn't know if Sander would understand it. He held it up, looking at it. The expression on his face showed that he liked it, but he seemed a bit confused as to why I was handing some of my clothes to him. Robert explained to him in Romania that I wanted to give it to him as a gift. His eyes lit up and quickly stood up from the chair, taking a few fast steps toward me. With a big smile on his face, he looked me right in the eyes, shook my hand, and concentrated hard to pronounce "thank you" correctly. He turned his head to look at Robert, as in to verify if he had said it right. Robert nodded. The ice had been broken for the overnight bus ride to Sandu's village in Moldova.